Welcome to the Let's Get Vulnerable podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Morgan Anderson, psychologist, relationship coach, attachment theory expert, creator of the ESL relationship method, author of Love Magnet, and athletic wear connoisseur. My mission is to help you raise your self-worth, have great relationships, and step confidently into the next level of your life. Each week, two episodes will air featuring expert advice, live coaching, and tips showing you exactly how to improve your life and attract a healthy relationship. You deserve to feel empowered, secure, and loved. Buckle up and let's get vulnerable. It's time to say goodbye to the cycle of self-doubt, of relationships that don't go anywhere, of low self-worth, of insecure attachment styles, of repeating the same patterns over and over and over again in your love life. And it's time to say hello to becoming the empowered, confident, securely attached version of you who effortlessly attracts the relationship that is meant for her. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And I know that so many of you are doing that in your love lives. I want to invite you to stop the cycle, to take control. Whether you're in a relationship or you're dating, wherever you are in your journey to finding healthy love, I know that the Empowered, Secure, Loved program can help you release your past, release your insecure attachment, and become that securely attached version of you who has the kind of relationship that she's always wanted. Do not wait on this. You deserve to heal. You deserve to prioritize you becoming the best version of you. Summer is going to be right around the corner, and I want you to be able to step into your dating life feeling so empowered and excited and ready to meet your person. Give this gift to your future self and take 5 minutes to apply to the Empowered Secure Love program. The link is in the show notes. It's a super easy application process. You'll fill out the app. You'll book a call with my team. They'll answer any questions you have, and you'll determine if the program is the right fit for you. Seriously, do not wait on this. I know I put off my own healing for a decade, and if I could speak to my younger self, I would say, prioritize you now, right? We take ourselves everywhere we go. Only you have the power to change how you're showing up in your relationships. And you deserve to work on that now so that you avoid the future heartache, the people who are emotionally unavailable, the relationships that go nowhere. I don't want to see you wasting your energy in more of those kinds of relationships. Take ownership now. Go to the show notes and apply today. You are going to love this program that has helped over 500 women heal and attract healthy, beautiful relationships. It is everything that you need, A to Z, to become securely attached, and you are supported and held throughout the process. This is a one-of-a-kind program, so don't wait. Go apply. The link is in the show notes. I can't wait to see you inside of the program. Welcome, Sabrina, to the Let's Get Vulnerable podcast. You are from Do the Work podcast. This is the collab that you've been waiting for, that you didn't know that you needed. And I am just so happy to have you with us, Sabrina. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I can't wait to have you on Do the Work in a couple of weeks. It's going to be so fun.
I love it. Oh my gosh. I am obsessed with how you communicate so openly, honestly, from such a real place. It's so relatable. I was binging your Instagram before I hopped on this interview. Like, yes, that you give advice in the way that everyone wishes that they had, where it's just open, honest, direct, real, relatable.
Thank you. It's a double-edged sword because there's so many people that are like, yes, I love this. And I'm like, and then there's also the other token of like, I trigger people, and that I know, and I will own that all day. But I have learned personally in my life, like coddling it just hasn't helped me. Like my sister is really tough on me. My brother, my family, like not in a negative, well, sometimes it might be negative, but just in general, like it's been a very, you know, my brother went through a drug addiction and my sister had an eating disorder. So it's a lot of like program work, AA and the steps and things like that. So I grew up in a very like no bullshit, no nonsense, like just get to it. And for me, that's helped. And I think there's a lot of coddling and there's a lot of you poor little thing, but I think a lot of people need to hear like, hey, why don't we get out of this mindset and why don't we actually like snap out of it and maybe hear things in a different perspective that might cause us to feel a little uncomfortable, but may still be what we need to hear.
I love it. I always tell people assertive is kind. When we're direct, that's actually the kind thing. So I love it. I love it. And I always want to ask my guests when they come on, how in the heck did you find yourself doing this work? What was it that led you to this calling?
Truthfully, so my journey kind of starts with like, I moved to New York when I was 19 to become an actor, realized like, it's just that I wasn't very good at playing a part for somebody else. I'm just better at being myself. And I went through my journey of like, pretty much marrying my father, like being with a raging narcissist who just completely broke me down. And after that relationship ended, I had started my clothing company software. And like, it was just, there was a lot happening. And that's when my journey started, because I was at such a rock bottom that I genuinely believed everything was my fault. And I'm just the worst person in the world. And I lost about 20 pounds, which on me is like, it was to the point where people were asking, are you okay? And that's when I started therapy. And then I started ketamine treatments. And I started my inner child journey. And it was like, it all kind of like compounded to that. Moved to LA in 2021. That sent me on a reel. Like my mental state and my just the way that I was, like I was a mess there. It was not conducive to who I am. And like as a New Yorker moving to LA, it was really tough. And so in 2022, I was supposed to be on Shark Tank. I spent 6 months working on it for my business, getting really excited, like was on set there day of, like next up, okay, Sabrina, you after 10 hours of waiting, you're next for them to send me home. And I literally hit rock bottom that night. Like I went home. I never had such negative thoughts in my life. And maybe like a month later, same thing happened again the second time. And at that point I was done. And my friend was in town and she was like, dude, you know what? You've been having clients. Like I was doing podcasts and panels prior to kind of doing everything, but it was for software. And she was like, you have so many people that come to you. You're coaching people like on the side. Why don't you post on TikTok? Like put this out there. And for me, my limiting belief was like, no one cares about me. No one's going to want to hear what I have to say. Like, who am I? Just low self-esteem in that regard. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll try. Why not? What do I have to lose? Put a TikTok up, and then all of a sudden that mushroomed and blew up. And then the podcast started January of 2023, last year. That exploded. Then the Instagram, and it just very organically happened. And I had learned, like, so my dog passed away in September or November 2022. And that was to me, that was the end of me. I shed all of those old parts of me, and I really realized, like, okay, so the one security system, the one constant that I had in the last 10 years is gone. The only thing I had that I trusted in my entire life, even more than my family, was gone. And so I lost myself. I had to go through an identity crisis. And I think allowing that surrender of, like, you know what, I don't know what's going to happen, and we'll see. Like, I met my partner 5 days later after I'd broken up with this guy. Like, all of my social started to take off, the podcast. And I think it really just came from not having a plan and just saying, I'm going to show up authentically. I'm going to keep showing up. I'm going to deal with the trolls, and I'm going to push through my own stuff. I'm going to push through my boundaries. And I learned so much about myself in this journey while also being able to help other people. And like, I couldn't have asked for anything better.
Oh, any story that has a fuck it in it, you know, is going to be a good story.
God, right? I couldn't agree more with you. It's true.
I love it. I love it. And gosh, what a gift you are in the way that you're helping people, and that willingness to be authentic. And oh my gosh, as you were talking about your dog passing away, I have an 11-year-old golden doodle who's been with me through 7 different cities, mm-hmm. countless relationships. I can't even count how many relationships, and he's struggling to walk, and I'm kind of like, ooh. So I have so much empathy for you.
It's one of those things that like you can't prep for it. Like everybody, because when Clem went to the doctor, like he was just, you know, you're like, oh, I think there's something off. Like he's just not eating today. And I was like, oh, he has worms. That must be it. So when I took him to the vet, just thinking like, oh, you're just going to deworm him. He must have gotten that from like, you know, smelling something. And then all of a sudden they're like, he has kidney failure. He's got a month left. And I was like, well, what do you mean? Like I just brought him in 4 months ago and I have the email. It says he's perfect. somehow it was overlooked. And he went from, in 10 days, that was it. And I think it's like, no one preps you for that kind of loss. And I think really at that point, like everything I thought I cared about, I no longer gave a shit about. Like nothing mattered because the one thing I was so scared of losing, which was him, was now gone. And then having to realize, and like I implement this in my dating life and in my career, that when I'm really at that scared rock bottom place, that is the moment to surrender. Because trying to claw your way back up and say like, no, I'm going to get there, it's like, it's only going to be more exhausting. Sometimes when you just say like, you know what, you have whatever you believe that's bigger than us has a plan for me, and I'm just going to allow this to happen. It's incredible how much beauty can come from that. And so it's like your dog's life was so impactful and meaningful and will always live on. And Clemmy is tattooed on my arm for life. But, you know, unfortunately, it's not fair. They only get 10 to 12 years with us while we have to live on for almost 100.
There's so much goodness in this story. And even thinking about attachment styles and how for a lot of us, the first secure attachment that we build in our lives is with one of our pets.
Yeah.
Right. And how meaningful that is. I just think, gosh, as a psychologist, I used to give people, I would prescribe them. I'd say, go get a dog. I really meant it. Like 100%. you need to build some secure attachment in your life. And it's a great tool to do that. I want to go to the part of the story where you said you were letting it, like you let things fall apart and then you met your partner 5 days later.
Yeah. So
tell me about that. That's so juicy. Like, tell us what happened.
So the timeline, September was Shark Tank ending. So then I started TikTok literally right after that. And then it started to take off. But so at this point I maybe had like 75, 100,000 followers. So like, I wasn't anything to call home about. So to me, I didn't think this was going to be a career. I just thought I was just having some fun on socials. And so then about a month and a half later, I was dating this guy. And so then Clem got sick and like middle October 15th, he passed away November 1st. So it just shows you like how quickly. So like when Shark Tank fell apart, I literally lost my shit. Like that was the first time I had ever had those really bad thoughts. And I was like, okay. Something better is coming, right? Like my company was just, it's hard to run a clothing company as one person. And I just kept saying like, okay, fine, something else has to come. Then the guy I was dating turned out to be super avoidant. Like when Clem passed away, dropped the ball, like completely wasn't there for me. I'm not going to villainize him. It just clearly wasn't working. And we were supposed to go for Thanksgiving at my sister's a month later. Clem passed away the first. Then on like the 20th, I remember my mom was in town. She came to say goodbye to Clem. And I went to this guy's house and he was like, you know, he was giving bullshit excuses. And I was like, I'm done. I was like, I'm not doing this. Fuck this. I'm out. Like, I'm not, at this point, I was like, you're having issues and you're trying to project them onto me. Like, I'm not doing this. And I remember leaving and I told my mom, you know what? We're going to go. And like my sister called the next day and she was like, guys, why don't you come for a month? Our in-laws, their rental is free. They actually have to go back unexpectedly. And I was like, all right, mom, let's go. We just packed our bags, said we're going. And in that moment, like I remember just getting to San Diego and just being like, you know what, mom, I remember we went to go see apartments and I was like, I think I need to move. Like, I think I just need to get away from how much I hate LA. And that apartment was with Clem and just the memories were really hard for me to go home every day. And so when I came here, it was literally like 4 days after I'd ended it with the other guy that I saw my partner on Hinge and he had requested to match with me. And I had like tons of guys, you know, you're new in a city, you've got all these people that are like, who's this fresh meat? Got all these guys. And I remember he was the only one where I was like, my mom, I remember showing her profiles and she was like, that one, there's something about him. I want you. She was like, just trust me, Sab, go on this date. And she was like, I'm going to go out. Like, you have your time. I want you to go on this date. And I said, fuck it. And I was like, I will go. And we went on a hike date and then we hooked up and then we went for dinner. And I remember leaving being like, I am never going to see this guy again. You know, I did all the traditional stuff. We met on an online app. We were dating in major cities. We hooked up on the first date. I was like, oh, we're never going to be together. So I made a video the next morning of like, I don't know. I went on this date with this tech guy last night. And then that just became a thing. Like then he kept asking me on dates. And I was like, okay, I guess this guy likes me. And I just really surrendered. Like I didn't have any, and as a former anxious attacher who would literally have a panic attack if someone didn't text me in like 12 minutes, it was the first time that, I mean, especially after Clem, like when Clem passed, wow. I looked at it as, you know what? It's time to shed my old skin. Like, let me try doing things differently. I tried to take a risk here. It worked out with the career. Let me try with my relationship. And by really challenging myself and pushing myself and challenging my anxiety and sitting in my discomfort and, okay, so he didn't text me for a day. That doesn't mean there's anything wrong. And really sitting and going, what are the facts to back up my narrative that I've now created? So all of a sudden, because he didn't text me, he doesn't like me, and now I'm not worthy of a relationship. Okay, well, I have zero facts to back that up. What I do know is that I spoke to him yesterday, everything was great, and I'm seeing him on Friday. That I knew. And so it took me a long time, not a long time, like a couple of months, to really push through my bullshit and say, nothing changes if nothing changes. And so that opportunity allowed me to just say, you know what, when sometimes when things end, you have to let them end and say that it's okay, because truly something really was better waiting around the corner. And now it's been a year and a half we've been together.
Oh, I love this story so much. I love that you brought up the reality testing. Say with my clients, right? It's like you have to connect to reality. A lot of us don't live in reality when we're in relationships. We
know
we're in fantasy. We're making up stories. We're in our past relationships in our head, even though the thing in front of us might be very different, right? So I love that you just tied in reality testing there. And it sounds like that was a big part of learning to become more securely attached.
100%, especially because like my partner has his avoidance. Like I don't like to, I don't ever like to label people like, oh, my avoidant. It's like, no, dude, just stop. Like what it is maybe this person has their issues. And like his father and my father, very similar, both narcissistic, two mothers, you know, his mother was a little stronger than mine and left, but like nonetheless, you know, we had a lot of similarities, but by no means was our relationship easy. Like he lost his job 2 months after we met, and all of a sudden it was shit. Okay. Like I'm just getting my business up off the ground. You just lost your job and you have a really expensive house. Like, thank God he was smart with money, but it allowed us like to really, we went through my death of my dog, his sister passing away. Like we had so many things that were happening. Like I was having panic attacks month one, knowing him in the car because a song came on that reminded me of Clem. But what my goal was here was, for me, it was hard to accept love from somebody who was more secure, somebody that was able to stop. Like when we had our first issue, I remember calling my mom and I was like, Mom, what if he doesn't want to listen to me? And she was like, Sabrina, he's not your father. This is not your dad. She was like, this is a man that genuinely cares about you. I think you need to speak up. And I did. And I'll never forget the first conversation, shaking as I was holding my phone, FaceTiming him. And his response was, oh my God, I had no idea I impacted you like that. I am so sorry. I need to do better. What can I do to show up for you? And I was like, what did you just say to me? Like, who are you? And that was me challenging, being like, okay, so my one narrative that I've always had was like, I'm unlovable. There's something wrong with me. So I always was going over after unavailable people. Now the pendulum swung to, holy shit, I have to accept this. I am deserving and worthy. You mean my core beliefs aren't accurate? That was a journey in and of itself.
This doesn't get talked about enough, of that switch to how do I accept really healthy, emotionally available love when I haven't experienced it before. I think there's so much inner work there, right? Of confronting those old beliefs and saying, well, hey, maybe there's some new beliefs here. And I think the power of the corrective emotional experience, you're having a corrective experience, and we have the choice of, I could either say, oh, it's a fluke, or there's something wrong with them. They love me this much, so there must be something wrong with them. I could sabotage it, or I could say, oh, hey, maybe this is evidence that I can be loved and relationships can feel good and relationships can feel easy, right? So how real is that though? I don't think people talk about it enough, of learning to accept that.
No, because all we talk about is healthy equals boring. So we're villainizing that healthy is something that we want to go towards. And then all we're saying, no, go for the spark. And it's like, I know as well as most people in our field that the spark is just neurotransmitters. It's just a mix of cortisol and different things going on in your body. By no means is the spark, oh, I don't have a spark with him, he's not for me. Because I didn't have a spark with my partner. I wasn't like to the moon and back. Honestly, I wasn't that into him at first. I just thought like, because he was so good to me that my nervous system was like, hey, girl, we don't know how to keep you safe here. Like you've never experienced this. You've only had toxic, you've had unhealthy. I can keep you safe there. But working through that, plus I'm going through my imposter syndrome, plus I'm dealing with this whole new career of the public. So you're dealing with good and bad that are reaffirming my core beliefs. So it was that was like 6 months of truly really, really difficult times for me because I was trying to push through with a new partner while also pushing through these negative things people were saying about me reaffirming core beliefs. So it was this weird amalgamation of things happening. But I do want to shed light on how important it is to really look at, for anybody that keeps saying like, I'm ready for a relationship, but yet you keep finding yourself dating people that are unavailable, then we have to be honest with ourselves to be like, actually, I don't think I'm ready for this. Because what a relationship truly entails doesn't just mean you just hang out. Like somebody had a comment on my video saying, there's no such thing as someone not being ready for a relationship. They're just not ready for you. And I was like, or they don't want one with you. And I was like, wow, how much compassion and empathy you lack for every other person because you deem that's not real. And I was like, actually, no, there are a lot of people that aren't actually ready for a relationship. Relationships require vulnerability, transparency, honesty, real hard conversations, active fucking listening, showing up authentically, holding space for somebody else, being able to manage your emotions around your partner and not project onto them. It's a slew that's that goes into it. And if you're somebody who I was, who was struggling to set boundaries at first or being able to express themselves, it's hard to break through. Is this person not safe to express myself because they're genuinely not a safe person? Or am I not comfortable expressing myself because I've never felt safe doing that because I had a narcissistic father that would hit you if you opened your mouth? It's a lot of sitting with yourself and saying what's coming up in my body and what's going on and challenging narratives and understanding your sensations before I got to a point of, I know the difference between the two.
I don't know if you relate to this, but I would say probably starting at age 15 to even like 29, the story I told myself is that nobody else, that they weren't emotionally available and that I was, and that I was so ready for a relationship. No one else is ready for a relationship, but I am.
Yep.
And then it was that, you know, rock bottom experience that I had of coming to the realization, holy shit, I am not emotionally available at all. Mm-hmm. And here I am. I've been saying it's everyone else. And I love everything you pointed out about what it actually entails to be a good partner. Because I think there's people who they can be in partnership. Maybe they take really pretty pictures for Instagram and, you know, everything looks really good, but they're not in true partnership. So I love that list you gave. And even your story in your relationship, losing your dog, him losing his sister, him losing a job, like you in a new business, that is real life. And partnerships that can withstand that, right? It requires a lot of showing up. It's not all butterflies and rainbows. And secure attachment is not all just, it's being able to navigate conflict and navigate those hard times and repair. You're not always going to be okay in a securely attached relationship, but you will be able to repair.
You have the tools. And I think that's the biggest thing is like people, and they're like, how do I fix anxious attachment? I'm like, there's nothing to fix. You're not broken. Like that's the biggest issue is if we don't understand what we actually need to do, that's why we're not doing it. So it's like off the bat, just understanding like, I'm not broken. There's nothing wrong with me. It's like, no, you were just taught somewhere along your life that you are this, that, and the other. Whatever your core beliefs are, those came from somewhere. And even if you claim I had the best childhood, it's like, I'm not saying your parents were bad people. What I am saying is they didn't attune to your needs. Or perhaps they didn't know because you are a child and you can't articulate that to a parent if you don't even know how to. And I think we've had such a villainization of the avoidant. Oh, they're a terrible person and they don't feel. And it's like, no, actually, they're some of the most anxious people on the planet. I see it with my partner. We had an experience where we went away. And we had like an Airbnb situation and the leading up to it, he didn't tell me. And so I knew he was, you know, you just can tell somebody's acting weird. And I was like, I don't know. Like we've had moments before where his avoidance will set in and he'll shut down. And then I'm like, hey babe, we need to come back and connect. And so I let it happen. And then we went on the trip and then I remember I said something and he snapped at me and I was like, yo, what the fuck is going on with you? And I looked over and he was just quiet. And I remember just being like, what, you don't care? And as I was about to say, you don't care, I could see the tears in his eyes. And I was like, babe, what's going on? And he just like stopped and broke down. And he was like, it's my sister's anniversary. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't know. It was like her 2-year anniversary. And I was like, oh my God, I had no idea. And he was like, I just didn't know how to say it. He was like, I didn't know because to me, I'm so used to dealing it with myself. Like I don't articulate this and I don't ask for help. And that's when I've really started to understand, like, my sister's more avoidant and I see it. The gloss in her eyes roll over. And when I asked her recently and she was like, because I can't fucking talk to any of you. Nobody listens to me. And I was like, okay, that's your perception. I'm not saying it's incorrect or it's not accurate or inaccurate, but that's your perception of the situation. And I think what we need to look at is, like, to all of our anxious attachers out there listening, saying, well, at least I communicate and I express myself. No, you don't. You project. You call bullshit. You say things that are, you're not actually expressing yourself, because asking for reassurance from someone 13 times in the same sentence isn't communicating with them effectively. Mm-hmm. Just like an avoidant person shuts down, an anxious person acts out. No one is right or wrong. And really, how to get to secure just means you're not a snowflake. There's nothing, you're not the most unique person in the world. Being secure just means that when something happens, I'm not going to automatically attack myself. As an anxious attacher, I'm not going to think that I'm the worst person and I'm unlovable. I'm not going to go back to my core beliefs. And as my avoidant partner, he now learns when that happens to just speak up and to be comfortable and safe in our environment that we've created in our home to be able to say anything he wants safely. So I just, sometimes I think it's important for us to call out some shit that I think is going around, that the avoidance is a terrible person. And I'm like,
They get labeled. I know you're going to agree with this. So I'm going to say it. They get labeled as narcissists. People are throwing around the term narcissist all the time. And it's just people who, that's their attachment strategy, right?
Yeah.
And then the confusion of anxiety and anxious attachment. That's so annoying. It's like, they're very separate. Anxiety experiences and an anxious attachment don't always go hand in hand. They can overlap. And then you can experience anxiety and also have an avoidant attachment style. So yeah, there's a lot to correct. I'm glad you agree with me on those things for sure.
100%. No, as being a child of a narcissist, like, my father was diagnosed because my mom in Florida, you have to go to therapy to get a divorce. That was the rules back when they were going through it. Oh, and so, yeah. So, and that's the only way. So my dad was like, he wanted to get the divorce. So of course my mom told me this recently, and I was like, cause I asked her, I was like, how did you get a diagnosis off this man? And she was like, I went. And the first thing he says as he sat down was he looked at the therapist and said, oh, thank God. Finally, someone can tell her what the fuck her issues are. And my mom's crying, and my dad's just sitting there, and he's like, this stupid fucking, and like, that's just him. He's very volatile. And as my mom left the office, the doctor stopped her. And she was like, I'm going to sign this as quickly as I possibly can. You're married to a narcissist and I can't wait for this divorce. And that was the first time my mom, she was like, what's a narcissist? Like, what is that? And, you know, nobody talked about that. And so now when I hear people like, my narcissist, I'm like, I'm sorry, where's your degree from that you were able to diagnose this person as that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's an easy way to label and to distance and to not actually see the nuance of people, right? It's like, yeah. I want to get into something that's really deep. And I know we both appreciate this conversation. So what do you think it is that makes us date our parents and seek out our parents?
Personally, at least in my experience, because I was the textbook of that. And I think what it was like, I had, for me, I believe in the, like, more that the parts system of, like, we have different parts of ourselves. And so, like, we have an inner child, there's an inner teen, like, there's different versions. There's a version of me from last week. We have different parts of ourselves that come out in different ways. And from what I've learned in neuroscience is, like, we have the amygdala where our emotions and feelings are stored, which stops growing at 6 years old. And then we start to create layers over our brain. But then we have the prefrontal cortex that stops growing at 28. So there's a big difference between our logic and common sense up here and then our feelings and emotions that stops growing at such a young age. So I think really what happens is, like, when we start to date people like our parents, if we have unhealed trauma, unhealed wounds that we haven't gone back and rectified, we are constantly dating people that are going to either represent what we weren't able to achieve when we were younger. So that way now we can say, see, look, I was able to turn that narcissist into somebody just like my dad. Yep. And then by also doing that, it then just keeps you on this cycle of reaffirming those core beliefs, because the more you date people like your parents, then the more you're going to be triggered like you were. And then the more you're triggered like them, then you're going to start acting like a child again. And then when you act like that, then they're going to start acting how your parents probably did. And when we put people on a pedestal, we're reenacting child-parent dynamic, always trying to seek validation. Hey, you tell me I'm good. You tell me I'm okay. So when we're constantly trying to date people like our parents, what I look at is, how old do you sound? How old do you feel? And what are the parts of you? What are you needing right now that you're trying so hard to get from somebody that is so reminiscent and familiar for you? Because your nervous system is going to, like that, go, oh, I can keep them safe here. I know this. So of course it's going to feel familiar. And more often than not, when I talk to my clients and like we start to piece it together and you start to ask, well, what experience did you have in childhood? You see the light bulb and they're like, oh my God, this person was just really familiar because it's exactly how my mom used to act. And I was hoping now that as an adult, I could show them how much better I am. And unfortunately, that didn't work.
Ooh, it's repeating those same childhood dynamics, unconsciously wishing for that different result, right? And we think that, yes, this time I can prove I'm good enough. This mm-hmm. time I'll get them to love me. And then we are so heartbroken, disproportionately destroyed when those relationships end, because they represent so much more than just the relationship. They represent all those core wounds and our childhood experiences. And then the cycle repeats itself. And this is what I did for years and years and years.
Was it?
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I it wasn't really until my late 20s that I was able to see the pattern and stop and finally accept someone who was ready to love me into my life. But I love how you describe this.
It's one of those things that I think off the cusp we're looking, and it's like we were talking about earlier, like the I'm ready for a relationship. And it's like, okay, cool. I was her too. I was the same girl going around being like, why is it men are trash? No men want relationships. And it's like, okay, well, one, what we've learned about neuroscience and neuroplasticity is the shit you repeat to yourself is going to manifest. And I learned that when I was buying a car. I got myself a new car a month ago, needed it, lease was up, time to go to upgrade. And so of course I'm like, ooh, okay, I want to look at a Range Rover. She couldn't afford it, but not yet. And I was going out and I'm like, ooh, the G-Wagons, you know, of course your dream cars. And then you start to notice and you're like, why did you notice everyone here has a G-Wagon? It's like, no, they don't. It's not that everyone has that. It's that now my cognitive bias is for that. So I ended up getting a Volvo. Yesterday I was driving home and I was like, man, there's so many Volvos on the road. There's not. Yes. It's just that when we consistently repeat to ourselves and have a pattern that's ingrained in our brain, the way we speak to ourselves. So if you're constantly going around saying, no one wants a relationship, no one wants that, it's like, okay. So then what you're also probably doing is you're not showing up on dates asking hard questions. You're because you're scared. Oh, no one wants any relationship. So let me be the good girl, right? Let me be the cool girl, because so many people don't want this. Then when you meet somebody that does, ew, I didn't like him. He gave me the ick. I didn't like that he parted his hair like that. And it's like, no, that's just an excuse because you found something about this person that you could utilize so you could get out of this quickly.
Ooh. It's a lot of tough love. And I think what's fascinating is it doesn't end. It just keeps unconsciously repeating itself. And someone can look totally different and you convince yourself this time it'll be different. But when you're in that cycle, it is like a felt sense of magnetism to drawing the people in who make my nervous system feel like it did when I was a child.
Yep.
And that is a strong force. There is nothing that you can do until you've actually dealt with it, until you've done the work, right? There is nothing that you can do that will stop that.
100%. Like, I think for anybody listening that's like, I'm on this roller coaster, how do I get off? It's like, even just making the awareness of, shit, I think I'm doing this. Like, that's a great first step. Yes. For me, I'll never forget, my sister used to say, you know, what's up? You're the common denominator. And for years, I'd be like, you met your husband at 19. Like, she has no, my sister has never been on an online app. She's never been ghosted. She's never had a one night stand, nothing. And it's like, I used to always be like, you know what? You just don't get me and you don't understand me. And then I was like, oh, the bitch is right. I am the common denominator. And what did I mean by that was, I would always say, I'm like, I can't, like, what do you want from me? Like, I don't choose these people. It's just the guys I'm going out on dates with. And it's like, but these are the people you're allowing into your life.
Yeah.
These are the people that, like, I know, I don't know about you with your partner. Like, for me, when I met my partner, he wasn't my type. I almost like I had the breakup text in my phone ready to send him because I was so uneasy because I was dating another guy and the other guy was my father, was really charming and lovely, but had so many issues. And all I saw was bingo, mama's going to fix this. I'm going to fix him. And I'm now let me tell you, for so long, I thought I could fix somebody and I thought I had the strength until I realized how much work I needed to do on myself, because by trying to help them and thinking that I was this holier than thou, it was just deflecting off of me and putting it onto them. So I didn't have to look at myself until I started dating my partner, where I was humbled down because I was like, whoa, girl, you thought you were good. You ain't.
This is, I think the listeners are like, whoa, I need to take a breather.
Yeah.
It's like, there's a lot here. There's so much tough love. And I do want to give people compassion. If you're listening to this podcast and you're like, oh shit, I think this is me, just know that this is where it starts. It starts with awareness. I had a very similar experience when I dated my partner. I was getting out of, it was popping in and out like every 3 months, right? And he was like the spinning image of what I'd gone after before. And I remember realizing, wow, I have to fully cut this off. I have to completely cut this off, because to enter in this connection, I need to be fully emotionally available with myself and also with him. This is a different type of connection than I've had. And thank goodness I had already started working on myself, because 100% I would have sabotaged this relationship. It's the best relationship I've ever been in. We're going on almost 3 years and he is an angel. He literally made my smoothie this morning and brought it to me before I started my day. And it's like, I'm finally accepting secure attachment, and it feels so good. And I very easily could have just sabotaged this and never gotten to this place, really easily.
I think about that decision all the time. That day I was going to send the text, and I'm so grateful that the other guy actually texts me saying, like, oh, pulling the typical avoid, like, I don't know if I could do this. And, you know, something from 11 years ago popped up and I'm like, oh, give me a break. And I remember putting my phone down and I looked at my mom and I was like, I'm done going for my type. I was like, this is exactly why I'm done. And I remember telling her, I was like, I'm going to commit to him. I'm going to commit to Ryan and I'm going to make this happen. And I was like, and it's the best decision I ever made. And like, here's the thing. I give a lot of tough love, but it's also held with a lot of space and compassion, because I was hurt. I understand. I'm not judging anybody. I want no one to feel judged. What it is I know your thought process. I know where your head is. I know where you're going. That's why I can be like, boop, boop, nope, come back here. Because I think sometimes we do just need to understand, like, we ask why all the time, right? Why is this person doing this? Why is this guy acting like this? And realistically, if I tell you why, it's probably still not going to help you, right? Like, if you were, why did that guy treat me like this? Oh yeah, his mother passed away last week and he's really struggling. Okay, well, then why didn't he communicate? Well, because he was struggling. Okay, but then why didn't he tell? There's always going to be another why, right? And for me, what I've really learned is, like, a great place to start is for anybody stuck on this loop of why. Okay, why? What's happening is you're disconnecting from yourself. Instead of why, I want you to reframe that to I don't know or I don't like. So why isn't he calling me? I don't like that he's not calling me. Great. Right. What don't you like about him not calling you? Well, I don't feel like a priority. Got it. See, now we can work with that. That was my therapist I love, Britt Frank. She taught me that. And it's been such a game changer. Even a small reframe like that of, oh, whoa, I can empower myself to not be asking so many questions for someone else to answer, but I can actually bring this back to myself. And that right there is the goal of my work. I am not telling you that I can find you a partner. I'm not God. I don't know that I could do that. But what I can do is I can help you empower yourself and help you shift your mindset so you all have a better opportunity out there. And at the very least, enjoy the process, because you're not doing it for other people anymore. You're doing it for yourself.
I love it. I love it so much. I have one more question for you, and then I know I should let you go. But this has been on my mind, and I wonder what you think about this. This idea that we all crave different levels of intimacy and different ways of being nurtured and reassured and quality time and depth of connection. Everyone has different desires around that, right? And I think a lot of finding our person is also about finding someone who wants to build the type of relationship that you want to build with the same kind of level of connectedness. Does that relate
Could not agree more. Like, I'll never forget on our first date, I asked my partner, what are you no longer willing to accept that you used to in relationships? And he looked at me and he was like, I'm no longer willing to accept somebody that wants to plug me into their life. He was like, I want to build a life with somebody where we are partners, we are equals, and we're doing this together. You're not fitting into mine and I'm not fitting into yours. We are creating new. And I remember, like, panties dropped. I was like, that's exactly what I want. And so it was the same. It's like, everybody is going to be like me. I'm big on physical touch. I'm very into that. But other things might not be, you know, gift giving like that. Yeah, I used to be bigger under that. It's not. There's nothing wrong if you want to be loved in a specific way. Now let's preface that. Let's put a little asterisk there. That doesn't mean that that has to be off the bat, because I know that I'm going to get my, well, I want my texting. No, 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 babies. Let me cut you right there. Require saying that if someone doesn't text me every single day and send me my good morning text in the first month that I've known them, that is not the same as this is the intimacy that I require in my relationship.
Yeah.
Words of affirmation are beautiful, but you don't know this person. So build to it. Absolutely. That is our goal, right? We are building, we are evolving, we are going. But the amount of incredible people that get passed over, because my partner was the first, he was like, I'm not texting you every day. I'm telling you that right now. He was, now we do. Because we're in a relationship and we love each other. But off the first 2 months, he was like, I'm not doing this digital thing. Like, if you, and he said so many women, he had one girl lose her marble on him. And he was like, I actually really liked her. He was like, I thought she was really cool, but she was demanding that of me. And he was like, I didn't feel comfortable. I had gone on 3 dates with her. Yeah. And so I think just understanding you have every right to ask for your needs to be met, just like they have every right to say no.
Yes,
it's okay. 100%. Your needs aren't too much. It's just, this is not your match. If you want something that they do, that's okay. But I think true compatibility is, are we going in the same direction? Do we want the same things in life? Are our morals, ethos, and ethics aligned? Do we see things the same? Like, I'm not going to date somebody that's a night owl when I'm up at 4 a.m. Like, if you're going to go to bed at 2 in the morning, that's not going to make any sense for us.
There's so much goodness there. And, you know, obviously it could be a whole other episode where when we are able to show up securely attached, then it's the juicy stuff about compatibility and values and alignment. And those are the really fun parts of dating. When we can learn to show up secure, we get to focus more on those aspects, which I love. This has been such a fun conversation. I feel like it was 10 minutes, like time is flying by. I want to just ask you one more question. What would you say to the person who is so new? Maybe they've never heard of attachment theory. They've just been repeating patterns. Where do they start?
I think a good place to start is, there's so many. I think a good place to start is for me, what was really liberating was finding out what attachment styles were, because what it did for me was make me realize, like, I'm not crazy. There's not something wrong with me. I'm not this snowflake, because for so long I walked around and I was like, so I'm the only one with these issues, right? Like, I'm the plague. I'm the problem. There's my scarlet letter. I forgot it at home. And then I'll never forget reading Attached and closing the book and going, oh my God, this is what it is. And I felt so seen, heard, and understood that I think even if it's just finding a community of people that resonate with you, learning even just to be like, okay, I'm going to start putting a speed bump in between my reaction and my response so I can start to even just get to know myself a little bit better. Just do something for yourself that you can educate and learn about what you're going through. And of course, working with a professional. Like, if you can work with somebody, that is going to be a big place, especially if you see I'm caught on a loop, I'm repeating patterns. Like, yeah, it's going to be stuff that you're probably not going to want to have to deal with. And you're going to have to go back into some pretty painful things. But let me ask you, what's more painful? The unknown, which sometimes isn't that scary, or staying where you are? Honestly, staying where I was just wasn't an option anymore.
An option. Yeah. Oh, this is such a powerful conversation. And I can't wait to continue it on your show as well. I've loved having you on. Tell everybody, how can they connect with you? How can they work with you? Tell us all the things.
Thank you. So Sabrina.Zohar on TikTok and Instagram is my personal, and then Do the Work podcast on Insta. On there is links if you ever want to like work with me one-on-one or ask a question. I'm doing a course that's coming out. Probably by the time this comes out, it'll be out. And so there's just, and also some free resources, but really just if the podcast is a place to start, awesome. Like, sometimes we just need a place that's even like a safe space. Am I going to give you tough love? You bet your ass I am. But it's really coming from a place where I genuinely want to help. And if we can disarm for a second and just allow a different perspective in, that's really all I'm asking.
Hey, I love your tough love, and I loved it on the show, and I know that this episode really, really helped people. So thank you so much for coming on. It's been a pleasure.
Likewise. Can't wait to have you on Do the Work.
Yay. All right, everyone. And of course, we are both wishing you high self-worth and great relationships. Until next time. Thanks for tuning in. I really appreciate each and every one of you. The best way you can thank me is by sharing this episode on Instagram or Facebook. Make sure you tag me. It would mean the world to me if you took just a moment to leave me a written review on Apple Podcasts. This podcast is not free to produce, and the more that you help this show grow, the more people will be able to help. Until next time, I'm wishing you high self-worth and great relationships. Thank you for being part of this community.